Good morning. In the spirit of welcome, would you turn to your neighbor and say hello and greet them and exchange a blessing? And please feel free to continue the conversation once the service has ended. Unity Church is committed to welcoming everyone, especially those who've been excluded due to race or gender identity or sexual orientation. Your gifts and your wounds are welcome here. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting or are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to live a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. If you'd like to learn more about Unity Church and about our faith tradition, please stop by the welcome table in the parish hall following the services. There you can sign up for Pathway to Membership classes, including Welcome to Unity, our class for newcomers, which will be offered next on Wednesday, October 13th. I want to draw your attention to This Week at Unity, which serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the life of the church. That's the green insert in your order of service. And especially, I want to call your attention to the invitation from the nominating committee to consider board leadership. If you feel that you have integrated the basic teachings of the church, that you have found your balance and that you're pretty good at keeping it, and that you would like to serve the church in this unique and significant way, please feel free to contact the nominating committee and offer your services. Wellspring Wednesday this week features saxophone player Elmer Pierre. All are invited to come to learn about Elmer and his contributions to St. Paul culture, and his love of the saxophone. Music will be included. Wellspring Wednesday evenings begin at 6 p.m. with a hot, nutritious meal and good conversation. Following dinner is a brief intergenerational worship service, and program begins at 7 o'clock. Child care is always available. A women's full moon gathering will be held on Thursday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. That's this coming Thursday night, in the center room. All women are invited to share in this ritual honoring the lunar calendar, with time afterward to reflect and build community. Expect stillness, beauty, and moonlight. Unity's Evergreen Projects ministry team is looking for volunteers to help prepare and serve a meal for families at the Jeremiah Program. The Jeremiah Program is a neighborhood community partner of Unity Church and of the Evergreen team, and is committed to assisting low-income single mothers and their children in breaking the cycle of poverty through education and support services. Please stop by the Evergreen Project's Parish Hall table for more information. There's still time to turn in your submissions for the next issue of Cairns, the Unity Church Journal of the Arts. This is true for kids, too. If you draw, or if you write short stories or anything like that, we would love to consider including them in the church's literary journal. All are invited to take part in this collaboration of hearts and talents. More information is available in the parish hall. Following the service, please visit the parish hall for refreshments and fellowship. There you can peruse the bookstall or stop by the pastoral care table to leave a note of care for someone mentioned in the embracing meditation. Upstairs in the Elliott Wing, the Unity Libraries are open for you to explore the diverse selection of books for children and adults. Next weekend, the congregation welcomes the Reverend Meg Barnhouse in celebration of the kickoff to the 2011 Pledge Drive. Meg and her partner, Kaya Hartwood, are a wonderful folk music team, as well as Meg's ministry, and they will be featured in a Cafe Unity on Friday evening, an evening of music, readings, humor, and reflection, with refreshments and fellowship to follow. The program begins at 7 p.m., is free of charge, and everyone is invited. Then on Sunday, Meg and Kaya will return to lead the worship services, and they will be filled with more music and a sermon entitled Speaking Up and Throwing Down. Meg is a ninth generation minister, eight generations of Calvinism and Meg. She's a joy. You'll enjoy her. Please make a special effort to be here. Services on Sunday next will be at 9, 11, and 4:30. Our chalice lighter this morning is Lily Hemmelgarn. Following the service today, Amy and I would love to greet you by the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church. It's a joy to be together.
My name is Sarah. I have always trusted my husband, Abraham, and shared his faith. When he was called by God to act, when he led our people from the old land to a new promised land, I stood by him. I didn't doubt him, nor did I doubt God. But in the chilling moment when he told me of God's unthinkable request and his intent to follow through and sacrifice our son, for whom we had waited so long, I turned away, unable to stand the anger and fear. In misery, I watched them go. Then, with a heavy sigh, I began to wait. Will you please wait with me? Come. Let us worship together.
Thank you.
please remain standing and turn to the back of your hymnal, Affirmation 476. Before the wonders of life, we acknowledge our failures to see and to revere. Before the sanctities of life, we are ashamed for our disrespects and indignities. Before the gifts of life, we own that we have made choices of lesser goods, and here today seek the gifts of the Spirit. Before the heroisms of life, we would be enlarged to new devotion.
Each time we gather for worship, we set aside a moment to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that is at the center of this and of every sacred community. Our hearts are always with those whose primary spiritual practice is raising children, with those who care for family members in ill health or who themselves live with grief or chronic pain, with mental illness or addiction. Our lives are blessed by those who knowingly and with curiosity and courage face their final days. We pray for our neighbors in prison and for those who struggle to keep going in the midst of economic challenge. May the leaders of the world find the wisdom and abiding courage to inspire and institute positive change. And may we hold the leaders of this beloved congregation as together we imagine and plan for our future. Will you pray with me now for all these we now name? We send our healing thoughts and prayers to Kimberly Davy Lind as she and her family members travel to the Mayo Clinic today, seeking more information about a medical condition. We send hearty congratulations to Katie Taylor and David Hall, who were married this past week. And we congratulate as well Elisa Lane and Jeff Mirsch, who were married yesterday on Madeline Island. Elisa is the daughter of Laurel and Eric Lane, and Elisa and Jeff met as toddlers in the nursery down below. Finally, may we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and may we be instruments of a lasting peace. I now invite you to speak aloud or to hold in the silent sanctuary of your hearts the names of those you would like to remember this morning. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, Thou whose love endows and animates our lives, we acknowledge Thy presence within and among and beyond us this day. Help us, we pray, to turn with the turning of the year, as we return to school, as we pick up the pace again at work, we are aware of the changing colors of the leaves and of those that will soon fall. Help us to notice the world that surrounds us. Lead us forth in beauty, that we might each and all become more effective instruments of the larger love on which we know we can rely. May it be so, and amen. amazing thing to be carried away and called home at the same time. This is a very special Sunday at Unity Church as the church school year begins again, and Carrie Meyer, our Director of Religious Education, is going to come up to the chancel to bless the children and send them on their way.
Before I ask the children to stand, I'd like to ask our journey guides to stand, if you would please. Journey guides are folks who commit themselves to half a year of time with the children. They will be away from us in worship from now until January. And friends, they become the face of Unity Church. They embody your love and your commitment as they spend Sunday after Sunday loving and guiding our children. So Jason, Carrie, John, Alan, Bridget, Mike, Sherry, Chuck, we bless you. Friends, when you see them, greet them. Lay your hands on them. Pray for them. Because when their hand touches a child's shoulder, that is all our hands on that child's shoulder. When their eyes meet the gaze of a child, that is our loving gaze. They are the face of the church. We bless you and thank you. Will the children of the congregation please stand? How good it is to have you among us on this day, a turning of the year. You are the reason for this church's past. You are this church's future. But most importantly, you are our present. Go in peace. Be kind to one another, and answer the questions that we don't even know how to ask yet. Will you sing us on our way? Parents, if you have a little one who is worried or anxious, feel free to accompany him or her downstairs, see them settled, and then come back to worship.
Before I ask the offering once more, I'm going to ask you to consider becoming not a canvas leader, as it says on this card, but a canvasser. Now, I know there's a certain reticence both to be a canvasser and, God knows, to be a leader. This is, after all, Minnesota, and we wouldn't want to boast or appear to be vain. On the other hand, many hands make light work, and about 100 of you have already agreed to testify to the meaning and depth of the church in your life, make a generous pledge to its well-being, and then ask other people to do likewise. That's all this is. It's just a grown-up conversation, and it's a grown-up conversation on which the church depends. So, if you can find it in your heart and in your schedule to be a canvasser this year, fill out one of these little forms or talk to Chris Crosby-Schmidt, who's going to stand up and wave to you at coffee hour. And there's a training this week, and then the canvas begins next week, and the work will be done within a month or so. So thank you for considering that.
Occupied during coffee. We have As those of you who worship here often know, the larger portion of our offering is donated to an organization with whom we share common values, with whom we are in partnership in the world. This Sunday, as we yet again contemplate the old strong story of Abraham and Isaac, there is no organization more appropriate to be that recipient than the victim, than the Center for Victims of Torture, one of the truly transforming organizations founded here in the Twin Cities by a Unitarian Universalist named Doug Johnson. It now serves people from all over the world whose lives have been shattered in that habitual violence that we pray each Sunday will end. Will the ushers please come forward? We know that when we live lives of integrity, service, and joy, generosity is sure to follow. At the end of the sermon, you are invited to stand as you are able, to find a partner if you wish to do so, and to engage in a litany for atonement. If you do choose to find a partner, you could seek someone out with whom you need to reconcile or to reinforce your connection, move around the sanctuary if you wish. You also are free to do this without a partner. If you do it with a partner, turn and face your partner and look into their eyes, and it will be clear from there.
First, having read the Book of Myths and loaded the camera and checked the edge of the knife blade, I put on the body armor of black rubber, the absurd flippers, the grave and awkward mask. I'm happy to do this, not like Cousteau with his
innocently close to the side of the schooner. We know what it is for, we who have used it. Otherwise, it's a case of maritime floss, some submarine equipment. I go down, rung after rung, and still the oxygen immerses me. The blue light, the clear atoms of our human air. I go down. My flippers cripple me. I crawl like an insect down the ladder, and there is no one to tell me where the ocean will be in. First the air is blue, and then it's bluer, and then green, and then black. I am blacking out, and yet my mask is powerful. It pumps my blood with power. The sea is another story. The sea is not a question of power. I have to run alone to turn my body without force in the deep element. And now it is easy to forget what I came for, among so many who have always lived here, swaying their crenellated fans between the reefs. And besides, you breathe differently down here. I came to explore the wreck. The words are purposes. The words are maps. I came to see the damage that was done and the treasures that prevail. I stroke the beam of my lamp slowly along the flank of something more permanent than fish or weed. The thing I came for, the wreck, and not the story of the wreck, the thing itself and not the myth. Red flames already staring toward the sun, the evidence of damage torn by salt and sway into the strip of beauty, the ribs of disaster curving more assertion among the tentative haunters. This is the place, and I am here. The merman whose dark hair screams black, the merman in his armored body, he circles silently above the wreck. We dive into the hold. I am she, I am she. Whose brown face sleeps with open eyes, whose breasts still bear the stress, whose silver pepper from meal cargo lies obscurely inside barrels, half wet and left to rot. We are the half destroyed instruments that once held to a course, the water-beaten log, the fouled compass. We are, I am, you are, the cowardice of our courage, the one who finds our way. Carrying a knife, a camera, a book of myths in which our names do not appear.
The time came when God put Abraham to the test. Abraham! Here I am. Take your son, Isaac. Your only son whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him as a sacrifice on one of the hills which I will show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass, and he took with him two of his men and his son Isaac, and he split the firewood for the sacrifice, and he set out for the place of which God had spoken. On the third day, God looked up and saw the place in the distance. Abraham said to his men, "You stay here with the ass while the boy and I go over there, and when we have worshipped, we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood for the sacrifice, and he laid it on his son's shoulder, and he himself carried the fire and the knife, and the two of them went on together. "Father, what is it, my son? Here are the fire and the wood, but where is the young animal for the sacrifice?" "God will provide for the sacrifice, my son. God will provide." And the two of them went on together and came to the place. There Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And he stretched out his hand and picked up the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Do not raise your hand against the boy, do not touch him. Now I know that you fear God, for you have not withheld from me your son, your only son whom you love."
as far as our gosh, we were silent, and as far as the waves, we loved you. I was going to the hill of words, in the den of the winds, and in the arm of the guy. The angels of the three religions step down into the road. Faith in one God is still heavy. And with words of pain, I must describe the fig trees and what happened to me, which wasn't my fault. Sand was blown into my eyes and became tears. We dwell on a small place for a park and large nameless dead. The scent of orange groves touched my blood. My blood looked over its shoulder to see who touched. Wind, the actors, began to put on their costumes again so they could act before us. Their masks of house and mountain and wood, makeup of sunset and night. From there, the other roads began, and my heart was covered with dreams, like my shiny shoes which were covered with dust. For dreams, too, were a long road whose end I would never reach. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. In the spirit of welcome, would you turn to your neighbor and say hello and greet them and exchange a blessing? And please feel free to continue the conversation once the service has ended. Unity Church is committed to welcoming everyone, especially those who've been excluded due to race or gender identity or sexual orientation. Your gifts and your wounds are welcome here. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting or are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to live a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. If you'd like to learn more about Unity Church and about our faith tradition, please stop by the welcome table in the parish hall following the services. There you can sign up for Pathway to Membership classes, including Welcome to Unity, our class for newcomers, which will be offered next on Wednesday, October 13th. I want to draw your attention to This Week at Unity, which serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the life of the church. That's the green insert in your order of service. And especially, I want to call your attention to the invitation from the nominating committee to consider board leadership. If you feel that you have integrated the basic teachings of the church, that you have found your balance and that you're pretty good at keeping it, and that you would like to serve the church in this unique and significant way, please feel free to contact the nominating committee and offer your services. Wellspring Wednesday this week features saxophone player Elmer Pierre. All are invited to come to learn about Elmer and his contributions to St. Paul culture, and his love of the saxophone music will be included. Wellspring Wednesday evenings begin at 6 p.m. with a hot, nutritious meal and good conversation. Following dinner is a brief intergenerational worship service, and program begins at 7 o'clock. Child care is always available. A women's full moon gathering will be held on Thursday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. That's this coming Thursday night, in the center room. All women are invited to share in this ritual honoring the lunar calendar, with time afterward to reflect and build community. Expect stillness, beauty, and moonlight. Unity's Evergreen Projects ministry team is looking for volunteers to help prepare and serve a meal for families at the Jeremiah Program. The Jeremiah Program is a neighborhood community partner of Unity Church and of the Evergreen team, and is committed to assisting low-income single mothers and their children in breaking the cycle of poverty through education and support services. Please stop by the Evergreen Project's Parish Hall table for more information. There's still time to turn in your submissions for the next issue of Cairns, the Unity Church Journal of the Arts. This is true for kids, too. If you draw, or if you write short stories or anything like that, we would love to consider including them in the church's literary journal. All are invited to take part in this collaboration of hearts and talents. More information is available in the parish hall. Following the service, please visit the parish hall for refreshments and fellowship. There you can peruse the bookstall or stop by the pastoral care table to leave a note of care for someone mentioned in the embracing meditation. Upstairs in the Elliott Wing, the Unity Libraries are open for you to explore the diverse selection of books for children and adults. Next weekend, the congregation welcomes the Reverend Meg Barnhouse in celebration of the kickoff to the 2011 Pledge Drive. Meg and her partner, Kaya Hartwood, are a wonderful folk music team, as well as Meg's ministry, and they will be featured in a Cafe Unity on Friday evening, an evening of music, readings, humor, and reflection, with refreshments and fellowship to follow. The program begins at 7 p.m. is free of charge, and everyone is invited. Then on Sunday, Meg and Kaya will return to lead the worship services, and they will be filled with more music and a sermon entitled Speaking Up and Throwing Down. Meg is a ninth generation minister, eight generations of Calvinism and Meg. She's a joy. You'll enjoy her. Please make a special effort to be here. Services on Sunday next will be at 9, 11, and 4:30. Our chalice lighter this morning is Lily Hemmelgarn. Following the service today, Amy and I would love to greet you by the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church. It's a joy to be together.
My name is Sarah. I have always trusted my husband, Abraham, and shared his faith. When he was called by God to act, when he led our people from the old land to a new promised land, I stood by him. I didn't doubt him, nor did I doubt God. But in the chilling moment when he told me of God's unthinkable request and his intent to follow through and sacrifice our son, for whom we had waited so long, I turned away, unable to stand the anger and fear. In misery, I watched them go. Then, with a heavy sigh, I began to wait. Will you please wait with me? Come. Let us worship together. please remain standing and turn to the back of your hymnal, Affirmation 476. Before the wonders of life, we acknowledge our failures to see and to revere. Before the sanctities of life, we are ashamed for our disrespects and indignities. Before the gifts of life, we own that we have made choices of lesser goods, and here today seek the gifts of the Spirit. Before the heroisms of life, we would be enlarged to new devotion.
Each time we gather for worship, we set aside a moment to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that is at the center of this and of every sacred community. Our hearts are always with those whose primary spiritual practice is raising children, with those who care for family members in ill health or who themselves live with grief or chronic pain, with mental illness or addiction. Our lives are blessed by those who knowingly and with curiosity and courage face their final days. We pray for our neighbors in prison and for those who struggle to keep going in the midst of economic challenge. May the leaders of the world find the wisdom and abiding courage to inspire and institute positive change. And may we hold the leaders of this beloved congregation as together we imagine and plan for our future. Will you pray with me now for all these we now name? We send our healing thoughts and prayers to Kimberly Davy Lind as she and her family members travel to the Mayo Clinic today, seeking more information about a medical condition. We send hearty congratulations to Katie Taylor and David Hall, who were married this past week. And we congratulate as well Elisa Lane and Jeff Mirsch, who were married yesterday on Madeline Island. Elisa is the daughter of Laurel and Eric Lane, and Elisa and Jeff met as toddlers in the nursery down below. Finally, may we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and may we be instruments of a lasting peace. I now invite you to speak aloud or to hold in the silent sanctuary of your hearts the names of those you would like to remember this morning. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, thou whose love endows and animates our lives, we acknowledge thy presence within and among and beyond us this day. Help us, we pray, to turn with the turning of the year, as we return to school, as we pick up the pace again at work, we are aware of the changing colors of the leaves and of those that will soon fall. Help us to notice the world that surrounds us, lead us forth in beauty, that we might each and all become more effective instruments of the larger love on which we know we can rely. May it be so, and amen. Thank you. amazing thing to be carried away and called home at the same time. This is a very special Sunday at Unity Church as the church school year begins again, and Carrie Meyer, our Director of Religious Education, is going to come up to the chancel to bless the children and send them on their way.
Before I ask the children to stand, I'd like to ask our journey guides to stand, if you would please. Journey guides are folks who commit themselves to half a year of time with the children. They will be away from us in worship from now until January, and friends, they become the face of Unity Church. They embody your love and your commitment as they spend Sunday after Sunday loving and guiding our children. So Jason, Carrie, John, Alan, Bridget, Mike, Sherry, Chuck, we bless you. Friends, when you see them, greet them. Lay your hands on them. Pray for them. Because when their hand touches a child's shoulder, that is all our hands on that child's shoulder. When their eyes meet the gaze of a child, that is our loving gaze. They are the face of the church. We bless you and thank you. Will the children of the congregation please stand? How good it is to have you among us on this day, a turning of the year. You are the reason for this church's past. You are this church's future, but most importantly, you are our present. Go in peace, be kind to one another, and answer the questions that we don't even know how to ask yet. Will you sing us on our way? Parents, if you have a little one who is worried or anxious, feel free to accompany him or her downstairs, see them settled, and then come back to worship.
Before I ask the offering once more, I'm going to ask you to consider becoming not a canvas leader, as it says on this card, but a canvasser. Now, I know there's a certain reticence both to be a canvasser and, God knows, to be a leader. This is, after all, Minnesota, and we wouldn't want to boast or appear to be vain. On the other hand, many hands make light work, and about 100 of you have already agreed to testify to the meaning and depth of the church in your life, make a generous pledge to its well-being, and then ask other people to do likewise. That's all this is. It's just a grown-up conversation, and it's a grown-up conversation on which the church depends. So, if you can find it in your heart and in your schedule to be a canvasser this year, fill out one of these little forms or talk to Chris Crosby Schmidt, who's going to stand up and wave to you at coffee hour. And there's a training this week, and then the canvas begins next week, and the work will be done within a month or so. So thank you for considering that. I get very occupied during coffee hour.
bear. As those of you who worship here often know, the larger portion of our offering is donated to an organization with whom we share common values, with whom we are in partnership in the world. This Sunday, as we yet again contemplate the old strong story of Abraham and Isaac, there is no organization more appropriate to be that recipient than the victim, than the Center for Victims of Torture, one of the truly transforming organizations founded here in the Twin Cities by a Unitarian Universalist named Doug Johnson. It now serves people from all over the world whose lives have been shattered in that habitual violence that we pray each Sunday will end. Will the ushers please come forward? We know that when we live lives of integrity, service, and joy, generosity is sure to follow. At the end of the sermon, you are invited to stand as you are able, to find a partner if you wish to do so, and to engage in a litany for atonement. If you do choose to find a partner, you could seek someone out with whom you need to reconcile or to reinforce your connection. You could move around the sanctuary if you wish. You also are free to do this without a partner. If you do it with a partner, turn and face your partner and look into their eyes, and it will be clear from there on.
First, having read the Book of Myths and loaded the camera and checked the edge of the knife blade, I put on the body armor of black rubber, the absurd flippers, the grave and awkward mask. I am having to do this, not like Cousteau with his assiduous crew aboard a sun-flooded schooner, but here alone. There is a ladder. The ladder is always there, hanging innocently close to the side of the schooner. We know what it is for, we who have used it. Otherwise, it's a piece of maritime floss, some sundry equipment. I go down, rung after rung, and still the oxygen immerses me. The blue light, the clear atoms of our human air. I go down. My flippers cripple me. I crawl like an insect down the ladder, and there is no one to tell me where the ocean will begin. First, the air is blue, and then it is bluer, and then green, and then black. I am blacking out, and yet my mask is powerful. It pumps my blood with power. The sea is another story. The sea is not a question of power. I have to learn alone to turn my body without force in the deep element. And now it is easy to forget what I came for, among so many who have always lived here, swaying their crenellated fans between the reefs, and besides, you breathe differently down here. I came to explore the wreck. The words are purposes. The words are maps. I came to see the damage that was done and the treasures that prevail. I stroke the beam of my lamp slowly along the flank of something more permanent than fish or weed. The thing I came for, the wreck, and not the story of the wreck, the thing itself and not the myth. The drowned face always staring toward the sun, the evidence of damage worn by salt and sweat into the threadbare beauty, the ribs of the disaster curving their assertion among the tentative haunters. This is the place, and I am here. The mermaid whose dark hair streams black, the merman in his armored body, we circle silently about the wreck, we dive into the hold, I am she, whose drowned face sleeps with opened eyes, whose breasts still bear the stripes, whose silver copper Vermeer cargo lies obscurely inside barrels, half wedged and left to rot. We are the half-destroyed instruments that once held to a course, the water-beaten log, the fouled compass. We are, I am, you are, the cowardice or courage, the one who find our way back to the scene, carrying a knife, a camera, a book of myths in which our names do not appear.
Time came when God put Abraham to the test. Abraham, here I am. Take your son Isaac, your only son whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him as a sacrifice on one of the hills which I will show to you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took with him two of his men and his son Isaac, and he split the firewood for the sacrifice, and he set out for the place of which God had spoken. On the third day, God looked up and saw the place in the distance. Abraham said to his men, "You stay here with the ass while the boy and I go over there, and when we have worshipped, we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood for the sacrifice, and he laid it on his son's shoulder, and he himself carried the fire and the knife, and the two of them went on together. "Father, what is it, my son? Here are the fire and the wood, but where is the young animal for the sacrifice?" "God will provide for the sacrifice, my son. God will provide." And the two of them went on together and came to the place. There Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And he stretched out his hand.